Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, July 16th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, enriching, and informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. Schlepping out to the video store to pick up your smut is so last century, don't you agree? I have a really sumptuous show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hello, my name is Steve. I'm 46 years old, and I was wondering, is it safe to swallow your own cum? And how can you improve the taste of your own cum? Thank you.
I just love it when you all take the time to write or call me and tell me about your spunk. I like it for two reasons. First, it reassures me that you're all paying attention to your sexual response cycle and that you continue to be fascinated with how your body works. These are really good things. Second, well, hell, I just get a kick out of hearing about your joy juice discoveries. Gosh, it warms the cockles of my poor old heart. So keep it up, so to speak, and keep the good doctor informed. Who knows, one day I might hear something I've never heard before. Back to you, Steve. There ain't nothing to get all freaked out about. Eating your own spooge will not make you sick. If you get off sucking up your own seed, knock yourself out, have a ball. Oh, wait, you already are. Think about it for a minute. There couldn't possibly be anything in your cum that could harm big old you, because that would mean it would also be harmful to your cute little defenseless sperm. But it's not. So there. Technically speaking, your joy juice, semen to be more precise, is mostly water. There's also a simple sugar to keep your hard-working sperm alive and well, and the rest is pure protein, baby. So look at it this way. Your eating habits, so to speak, will require you to eat just a little less tofu than the rest of us. And I know a little something about how to make your spooge spunkalicious. Most of our ejaculate is produced in our seminal vesicles and prostate gland, not in our testes like most folks think. Only our sperm is produced in our balls, and sperm makes up only a fraction of our ejaculate. Our prostate gland is influenced by what we consume. Eat, drink, smoke, things like that. So if you want to have sweet-tasting jizz for yourself and others, watch what you consume. Oh, and drink lots of water, too. Eating celery and or parsley can have an almost immediate effect on the taste of your cum. Some report that the effect can be as swift as 30 minutes. So not only do celery and parsley freshen your breath, but they freshen your spunk as well. Hey, it's like having two mints in one. If your diet is heavy with meats and fish, your jizz will most likely have a bitter taste. High concentrations of dairy products creates a foul taste. So does all that caffeine and nicotine. Lots of fruits and vegetables in your diet, except asparagus, that is, will produce a slightly sugary taste. And if you like your cocktails, the kind you drink, silly, it's best to stick with a high-quality, naturally fermented beers, wine, and or liquor. The cheap stuff, the rot gut, will not only give you a wicked hangover, but will cause your spooge to have an extremely acidic taste. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, thanks for asking. It's 866-422-5680. The number again, 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Nola, a female, 42, and she writes from Springfield. But I don't know which Springfield. There's a load of them. Anyhow, regardless of where she writes from, she says, "My husband and I only have masturbation sex because he says he can't feel me anymore when we make love. He says he still loves me, but he says I'm very loose down there. And I know why, too. We have three wonderful boys, 12, 9, and 6. All were big babies, and all three were vaginal births. And I don't think I ever rebounded afterwards. And now that I'm older, well, things are not like they used to be. Is this the end of sex for us?" A very common complaint, Nola. I write and talk about lax pelvic musculature a lot on this site and in my private practice. Sure, there is hope for regaining muscle tone, and it's not particularly difficult to achieve. Let's start by taking a look at our anatomy. You have several pelvic floor muscles. The one we're most concerned with is called the pubococcygeus muscle, or the PC muscle. It supports and holds in place the internal sex organs for both women and men. Pay attention, men. The following exercises can help you whip your PC muscles into shape, too. It's attached to the front of the pubic bone and goes all the way around to your butthole. When one's PC muscle is taut and toned, a contraction can be felt all over the pelvic area. Cock, cunt, clit, asshole, you name it. So you see how important this muscle is to performance as well as pleasure for both women and men, right? Still don't know which muscle I'm talking about? Okay, try this. While taking a pee, abruptly stop and start the flow of urine. Can you do that? Lots of women and some men can't. As you suggest, birthing babies is pretty traumatic to your pelvic musculature. These muscles lose tone with each successive delivery, not to mention the impact the aging process has on our muscles. If you can't abruptly stop the flow of pee, then you're going to have to find the PC muscle another way. Try this. Stick a couple of fingers inside your pussy and squeeze. Not your fingers, your pussy. You may have to insert more than two fingers to find what you're looking for. But when you feel pressure around your fingers, you've hit the mark. Consider this. If you're using more than two fingers to find your PC muscle, you can understand why your hubby ain't getting the friction he needs to get off through fucking, right? Okay, so let's work on some exercises that will tighten things up down there. These exercises are commonly called Kegel exercises. I'm going to insist that you spend 30 minutes a day at this. Twice a day would even be better. And I want you to commit to this regimen for 2 weeks. If you cannot commit to this kind of time, then, yes, you can say goodbye to fucking your husband ever again. If your sex life is important to you, you will find the time to do your Kegels. Okay, while lying on your back or reclining propped up with some pillows, start by relaxing everything except your vaginal muscles. This will take some doing, so be patient. Remember, you have 30 minutes to fill. Insert your fingers in your pussy and clench your PC muscle. You will want to lift up while you do this, not bear down. If you're tightening your abs, squeezing your legs together, clenching your butt, or holding your breath, then you are not exercising the right muscle. I want you to work on both muscle strength and tone. With fingers inserted, start with 5 strong, prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Okay? Squeeze, hold, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row. Doing 3 sets of these 2 types of Kegels during your 30 minutes a day is your goal. If you're tightening your abs to finger your pussy, consider inserting a dildo instead. Let's go over this one more time. Start with 5 strong, prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Start. Squeeze. Hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row. When you've accomplished this, you're ready to increase the set to 8 or 10 prolonged squeezes and 20 rapid contractions in a set. The advanced Kegler is able to vary the type and duration of her PC squeezing, slow prolonged clenches to quick flutters. And darling, this doesn't have to be drudgery. Add some up-tempo dance music and tighten and release your PC muscle to the rhythm. You will naturally vary the exercise and have way more fun doing it. Hey, want to kick it up a notch? Combine your PC exercises with jilling off. That's right, darling. Throw yourself a screaming meme of an orgasm as you're exercising. This is where a nice vibrating dildo will come in handy. You may find that you're more likely to attend to your exercise regime if there's pleasure involved. Throw in some patterned breathing and pelvic rocking with your exercises. Rock your pelvis up, exhale, and squeeze the PC muscle tight. Squeeze, hold, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then inhale. Drop your hips back down and relax your muscles. Once you get the hang of this, reverse the exercise. Inhale while rocking forward and exhale while dropping back. Listen, if you follow my instructions for this 2-week exercise course, you will notice a marked improvement in your pelvic muscle tone. Won't the hubby be surprised when you invite him for a fuck and he finds a taut-toned pussy of a woman half your age? Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Alrighty, next we hear from Peaches and Herb, a 30-something couple from Washington, D.C. They write, "We are a hip 30-something couple, and we're looking for a little adventure. We want to throw a sex party. We know several couples who we think would be interested in joining us, but we're not sure how or where to start. What do you suggest? P.S. Peaches and Herb are not our real names." You don't say. I would have never guessed. "Actually, P&H, I hesitate to offer any suggestions because it sounds to me like you guys are complete amateurs when it comes to swinging, if you are swingers at all. Throwing a sex party for a bunch of straight folks is not like hosting Sunday brunch. where all that could go wrong is serving an unsuitable wine with the quiche. A poorly planned sex party can be a catastrophe and destroy friendships and make instant enemies. If I were you, I'd start planning my own party only after I attended several other parties hosted by folks who knew what the fuck they were doing. But, to give you the benefit of the doubt, I will offer these suggestions. First, I'd begin by asking myself, what kind of party do me and the little woman want to host? A sexy party? Attendees dress in provocative outfits, lingerie, and the like, get all liquored up, play naughty games like Truth and Dare, which probably will evolve into group makeout sessions, where few risks are taken and nobody gets hurt if things go badly. A sex party? Attended by out and proud swingers? Here the agenda obviously is sex, but there is a shitload of very important things that you need to consider before the invitations go out, and more about this in a minute. Or an orgy. A no-holes-barred, check-your-clothes-at-the-door, full-on sex extravaganza. This kind of gathering is not for the novice. In fact, it's more of a gay party option than a straight party option. The reasons I believe this are coming up. Whatever kind of party you choose, you'll want to carefully consider the people you invite. It's a good idea always to have some instigators on your list. You know, the folks who will be the first to make out, dance, shed their clothes, that sort of thing. Established swingers are always a good choice for this. They will be less inhibited than the newbies. Do you desire an equal male-female ratio? Couples only? Singles only? Straights only? No single men? Will you allow bisexual expression, specifically the male-on-male type? Will you allow kink, or is this going to be a vanilla party? If you're thinking of inviting relative strangers, you might want to consider screening them in advance. You'll want to make sure that the prospective guest will fit with the others on your list. Where's the shindig going to be held? Your home? A rented space? A hotel suite? If all goes well, the party will probably be loud and nude, so consider your neighbors and your neighborhood carefully. Wherever you host, designate some areas as sex areas and some areas as rest, neutral, no sex areas. Will you serve adult beverages? If you do, how much is too much? Will there be food? You know, probably if there's booze, there ought to be at least some food, right? Even if it's simply power bars and Gatorade. Music is very important to setting the mood. The wrong music, there goes the party. Your play space must be clean and warm, with plenty of places to freshen up. That will necessitate soap and water and lots of fresh towels. Muted lighting is essential. At least in some of the areas. Throw pillows are good. Vinyl sheets are practical. Or have your guests donate a set of clean sheets to the festivities. You'll need to realize that it will be a mess wherever your guests fuck, with all that lube and body fluids and the like. And there will always be accidents, like spills, smells, and skid marks, if you catch my drift. Speaking of which, have lube, condoms, latex glove, baby wipes, and whatnot in every room you designate as a play space. Nothing sets the mood like some classy pornography. Have your guests turn off their cell phones. And I'd also consider having a definite arrive time, no one admitted after a certain hour. New arrivals can ruin a mood, unless you are sure that they will blend in and get down to business immediately. Sex party etiquette is essential. A lot of this will depend on the kind of party you're hosting and the type of people you invite. But you should insist that your guests behave themselves, in a smutty way, of course. Guests should be polite. No means no. I would discourage guests who might just want to attend for the show. There are no bigger turnoffs than a lecherous gawker or an uncomfortable wallflower. Permission to join any grouping is mandatory, and a sense of humor is always appreciated as long as it doesn't bust the mood. And finally, safe sex ought to be a must. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, thanks for asking. It's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. And now, by request, a popular column I wrote several years ago. This is for you, Armand. Forbidden fruit. What is it about things that we're not supposed to have or even think about that makes these things so tantalizing? In a sex-negative culture like our own, where sex roles and gender expectations are so buttoned down, where much of the vast array of healthy human sexual expression is proscribed, it's no wonder we often feel compelled to deny who we are or turn ourselves inside out to avoid the conspicuous. Two recent correspondents come to mind immediately. Doc, like I'm totally straight, right? But my roommate is gay. He's hot and all, with a great body, and he is this total sex addict. Sometimes I hear him pounding ass through the wall. When he's drunk, he tells me about the guys he's fucking, and it's like all this really nasty stuff. I'm like totally not into cock or anything, but I can't help but wonder how it feels to touch one. I see my roommate naked all the time. He's like this total exhibitionist. Sometimes he even has a piss hard on in the morning. Nasty. I don't pay much attention, but sometimes I just want to reach out and grab that thing, just to see what he would say. I just don't want him to get the wrong idea. And if my girlfriend ever found out, she'd freak. So do you think my roommate would ever mind if I copped a feel? It's not like it isn't already hanging out and stuff. And do you think he'd rat on me to my girlfriend? Curious. Dear Curious, like you are so totally not straight, dude. You are like the biggest closeted flamer in the whole wide world. You're just itching for the opportunity to smoke yourself some pole, but you can't admit it. Sounds like several prominent Republicans I know. But I digress. Like, I bet you're totally jerk off while your hot roommate is pounding ass next door. And I think your girlfriend is this pathetic beard. She's got her eye on you, don't you know? She knows that if she ever turns her back for just 1 minute, you'll be taking it up the poop chute before she can say friend of Dorothy. Let's face it, you want your girlfriend to find out about your secret obsession. By the way, what kind of self-respecting straight chick dates a closet case like you anyhow? I mean, like, how could your roommate rat you out when everyone already has your number? Darling, when you find out you're a big fat homo, everyone will know. Dude, like, you are totally gonna grab your roommate's package one of these days real soon, regardless of what I say or what he thinks about you doing it. Like, you are totally self-deluded about not caring that he walks around the house sporting a giant boner. And this shit you're trying to feed me about being scandalized by his nasty sex exploits? That's like totally obvious too. Methinks you doth protest too much. Listen up. If your roommate is a nice guy and you aren't the totally skulking dweeb you appear to be, if you have the balls to come clean with your roommate about your true identity and he hasn't pounded any ass in the last 12 hours, and he's feeling really generous, and you ask him really nice, yes, I think there is a slim chance he'll bone you big time. It will be, of course, a mercy fuck for sure, but at least you'll finally know total bliss. I'm like, go for it, dude. Sheesh. And then there's this. Hey, Dr. Dick. I got more of a story than a question. I'm gay, kind of average looking, kind of big, kind of burly, and I really dig sex. Problem is, I don't look like your typical fag, all gym buff and everything, and I'm not getting laid like I should. I've tried everything, online personals, internet chat rooms, phone hookup lines, everything. What the fuck? While I'm online looking for a hookup, I start to notice something that blows me away. There's a lot of queers looking to hook up with straight guys. At first, I'm thinking, dudes, this is fucked up. There are all these queers out there, like me, for example, who aren't getting their share of what they want. And you want to suck off a straight dude? Fuck. Now I'm getting all depressed. Okay, so then I try this little experiment. Next time I'm online, I post an ad like always, same stats, same everything, only this time I say, I'm straight. Damn if I don't get hit up by half a dozen guys right away. Guys that wouldn't have given me the time of day when I was, in quotes, gay. I decide to go for it. Like now I just want to see if I can pull this shit off. Guess what? I got the best sex ever. I turned guys away even. This is really messing with my head, but I'm getting some really fine ass, so I ain't complaining too much. I decide to really get into this. I start saying things like my girlfriend can't suck dick for shit, and I've got a 5-day load of straight man spunk holed up for some faggot cocksucker. I can barely keep a straight face, no pun intended. I put this picture of my sister in a frame and put it by my bed and tell my tricks that she's my girlfriend. I've got this chick at work to join me in the fun and have her call me when some dude's blowing me. And she starts ragging on me like some real girlfriend, and then she wants to know what that sound in the background is. This fucking drives my trick wild, because he thinks he's getting authentic straight man dick. By the way, the chick from work thinks this is a riot. This works for sure. Fags are so gullible. It's fucking incredible. But I worry because I want a boyfriend, and this ain't gonna get me one. Even if one of my tricks turns out to be the man of my dreams, I couldn't respect him or trust him, knowing that he's trying to make straight guys. Scott. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. All this just to get laid, Scott? Holy cow! Well, the good doctor is truly entertained by your delightful story. He is as depressed as you are to learn the lengths a gay man has to go these days just to get another gay man to suck his dick. I don't recall it being so convoluted when I was a younger man. The good doctor also concurs with your statement that you'll probably not find a boyfriend this way. And I'd like to point out the obvious. What's with this bullshit double standard you have? You say you couldn't respect or trust a guy who is out trying to make some straight guys, yet you don't call yourself on the mammoth deception you practice? Curious how we can point out the sliver in another man's eye while we still have a plank in our own. You do, however, get extra points for creativity. I love the touch of having a chick from work call you while you're in flagrante delecto. That's beautiful. A+. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you will be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, this stuff is gonna come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. Look for the link that reads, Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, there's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. How sweet is that? Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I did there. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the product sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me at drdicksexadvice.com. That's drdick at drdicksexadvice.com. And look for my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.